I want you to use your imagination just for a moment. To imagine that you're bent right over, looking at the ground, and that you're locked in that position permanently. You stare constantly at your own feet and the ground around you. You can't see more than a meter or so in front of you. And you never see the sky or the moon or the stars that we sang about in that first song. You never see the horizon. You don't see the hills or the sea in the distance beyond. And worse still, you can't look anybody in the eye or see the expression on their face. And by and large, people just ignore you. And then this teacher in the synagogue notices you. And he calls out to you and tells you that you're no longer locked in that awful position. You're free. And he lays his hands on you. And you know it's true. Slowly but surely, you straighten yourself up. For the first time in 18 years, you look him in the eye. And you see love and mercy and compassion. And you just know with all of your being that this is God at work. How could you not praise him? It's hard to begin to imagine how great that woman's rejoicing would have been. When others comprehend what happened to you, they too are murmuring amongst themselves in amazement and wonder and approval. And everyone is grinning from ear to ear. Well, almost everyone. The leader of the synagogue is not pleased. Indeed, he's very angry. He's indignant. He tells the people to come and get healed on a weekday. Interesting that he doesn't address Jesus. You see, in their eyes, healing is work. And the commandment says no work should be done on the Sabbath. Not only that, but the leader of the synagogue would have maybe had his nose put out of joint because his job was to control what went on in the synagogue. And right now, things were pretty out of control. But now it's Jesus' turn to be indignant. The thing about Jesus is that he can see through human religiosity. That dotting every I and crossing every T of his man-made rules. Jesus points out the illogical thinking that allows a person to have compassion for his animals on the Sabbath, but not on a fellow human being. They were quite entitled to lead their animals out to drink and to be fed, because that was a compassionate thing to do. So, why were they complaining? So there were two very different reactions. His enemies didn't like what he did at all. But the woman who had received his love and his mercy, his grace, was full of happiness. So, why did Jesus heal the woman that day? So far as the gospel makes us aware, she didn't ask to be healed. What was going on? Was it to show his opposition to legalism? To uncover the hypocrisy of the religious people of his day, who cared more about winkling out every breach of the law than they did about loving and caring those who were at the bottom of the pile? Interestingly, the Bible tells us of seven other Sabbath day miracles that Jesus performed. So maybe there's a bit of a pattern here. Maybe he wanted to reveal that religion can sometimes become separated from godliness. So yes, this healing on the Sabbath does show God's opposition to legalism. Another thought. Was it to show God's victory over Satan's oppression? We're told that an evil spirit made her ill. Does Satan cause sickness? It seems so in this story and several others in Scripture, including the story of Job. But does Satan cause all sickness? A difficult question. Body, mind, and spirit do seem to be inextricably linked, and yes, in the sense that we are all imperfect, as we saw up there, as a result of the fall. What this healing does certainly show is that when God and Satan go head to head, God has the victory. And in that we can rejoice. A third possibility. Was it to show God's love and compassion, his grace and his mercy? It was a woman living a really miserable life, literally locked up in her own body. A condition which we now call ankylosing spondylosis, where the bones in our spine gradually fuse together. And to relieve the pain that that causes, the sufferer tends to hunch forward, and it becomes more and more so. When I was a little girl, I can remember often seeing people that walked around really bent over like that. But I guess with all the medical science and different helps that have been available over recent years, you don't often see it now. But what Jesus saw was her utter distress. Not just her physical pain, but her emotional and spiritual distress too. I believe that over and above everything else, he healed her because He loved her. We're told she was a child of Abraham. She had gone to the synagogue to worship. She believed. And in healing her, he was able to reveal the compassionate, merciful, gracious face of God, as opposed to the nitpicking, legalistic, hypocritical face of God that people were being shown by the clerics of the day. And how she loved him for it. So what does this story say to us today? Two things that I want us to ponder. Healing, in all its many and varied forms, was an integral part of Jesus' teaching ministry. And it seems that he used it to point people to faith in God. Physical healing is by nature only temporary, because we're all going to die eventually. But anyone who has experienced God's physical healing in their own life has experienced the desire to respond with overwhelming love and rejoicing. Just a brief personal testimony here. When my mother had a serious stroke, she came to live with us, and I looked after her for a couple of years, and gradually her condition worsened. She used to go for respite care so that I had a week from time to time when I wasn't doing the caring. And eventually she died, unfortunately, I feel, for me anyway. She died whilst she was in respite care. But the amazing thing was that all through that time of looking after her, I didn't have an ache or a pain, and there was quite a lot of lifting involved. And any nurse will tell you that lifting patients is something that often causes pain in your back. But after she died, and about 3 days, even 2 days maybe, before her funeral, I had the most awful pain in my neck. It was agonizing. The doctor gave me painkillers. I wore a neck brace. But still, it was totally incapacitating. And all the tablets did was help me to sleep, but they didn't really take the pain away. And it came to the day before my mum's funeral. And I thought, I've got to do something about this because I don't think I'm going to get there in the state that I'm in. And so I went to see a lady in my church who had a healing ministry, who would lay hands on people and pray for them. And I explained, and I said, please, Lillian, will you pray that God will take this pain away? And she said she would. And I sat down on a chair, and she prayed over me. She prayed in English, she prayed in tongues. Nothing seemed to happen. But she kept on, and on. And it went on for about, 20 minutes, half an hour. And then I gradually felt a warmth. It was a warmth that began in my head, where she had laid hands on me, and this warmth just permeated through my body, right down to my toes. And I knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God had done a healing work in me. And I said, it's okay, Lillian, you can stop. I'm free. because of that, I've got such an understanding of what this lady experienced. Not the same experience. It was a temporary pain. It was a temporary healing. Amazingly, 24 hours later, after my mum's funeral had happened, that pain came back. Not as bad, but it came back. And I never felt it was right to ask God to take it away again. I felt that if it had come back, it had come back for a reason. And my minister said to me at the time, "I know why God's brought that back. He just wants you to have a rest." And that went on for another 2 or 3 months, gradually going. Having told you all of that, I recognise that often people are prayed for and they don't receive healing, not in a physical sense. But when you have received it, you can never, ever again deny what God has done, because he's done it in your life. What about those who don't get healed? I don't believe prayer for healing is ever wasted. Sometimes God grants it and sometimes he doesn't, and I'll have a lot of questions to ask him about why one day. But what I do believe is that God does do a work of healing in whoever is prayed for in faith. It may be a healing of the emotions. It may be a healing in their spirit. It may be that there's been a suppressed anger or jealousy, a hurt that that person has never been able to let go of. But when we're prayed for healing, God can release us, set us free from those things too. So, I said 2 things to ponder. One was healing. The second one is this. Maybe that passage should cause us to ask ourselves a question. What do we reveal about God to the people that we meet? When they look and listen to you and I, do people who know us but don't yet know God, do they see hypocrisy? Or do they see love and compassion, grace and mercy? With the help of the Holy Spirit, we have the awesome responsibility and the wonderful opportunity to reveal the true face of God, as Jesus did. Wow. What a task. Which of us is up to it? It feels totally daunting. But remember this. He doesn't leave us to do it in our own strength. He promises to be with us, and indeed to live in us. And we only have to ask for his help. Though we are weak, his grace is everything we need. And so, rejoice, rejoice. Christ is in you. Amen.